Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A billionaire hip-hop star accused of rape.
Yeah, I'm up at Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca.
Jay-Z vehemently denies allegations in a new lawsuit. He and Sean Combs sexually assaulted a 13-year-old girl 24 years ago. Jay-Z calls it an attempt at blackmail. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan heads to the Middle East this week after rebels put an end to the decades-long Assad regime. Sullivan tells CBS Mornings they're worried about stockpiled weapons.
Through work that we are doing with other partners in the region, we are trying to make sure that those chemical weapons do not fall into the hands of anyone who would use them against civilians, against our partners in the region, or against us.
Leading this year's Golden Globe nominations, Netflix Emilia Perez, about a Mexican drug lord who transitions genders. The awards handed out January 5th. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. VFW Post 2534 hosted their Pearl Harbor Day program on Saturday, along with the Fleet Reserve Association Branch 238, as well as the Southwood County Allied Veterans Council and member organizations. Led by Post Commander Sean Plant, veterans and the public gathered to honor those who died when Japanese forces made their surprise attack on Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, on December 7, 1941. Mike Gunner-Pohl of the Fleet Reserve spoke to those assembled, as well as conducting the Two Bells ceremony. The service included a 21-gun salute and the raising of a memorial flag at half-mast in honor of the fallen. It's time for the annual holiday traffic safety campaign, Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over. The Portage County Sheriff's Office is joining law enforcement agencies across the state on this holiday campaign. From December 11th through New Year's Day, officers will patrol in greater numbers for longer hours, watching for impaired drivers. Last year in Wisconsin alone, there were over 5,900 alcohol-related crashes that resulted in 159 deaths. This campaign is about saving lives and preventing needless tragedies during the holiday season. If you plan to celebrate this holiday season, identify a sober, designated driver or find a safe, alternate way home. The Internal Revenue Service is noticing an increase in bad tax advice being spread on social media. IRS spokesperson Christopher Miller says the scam dupes people into filing inaccurate tax returns, which can lead to delayed refunds, penalties and interest, and sometimes even criminal charges. Miller says be on the lookout for scams involving tax credits or cryptocurrencies. More tips and information can be found at irs.gov. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Adames goes to the Giants. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball free agency underway over the weekend. Willie Adames signed a 7-year deal with the San Francisco Giants worth $182 million, the largest contract in that team's history. Willie Adames played 4 seasons with the Brewers, hitting 32 home runs, 21 stolen bases, and 112 RBI in his final season with the crew. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I love the kid. I mean, this kid's a gamer. He comes to play every day. He's a good player, and he's a leader, and he loves the big situation.
NBA, Bucks beat the Nets 118-113 in Brooklyn. Doc Rivers.
You could feel it. Like, they had that stretch where they were about to get away from us, and I thought Giannis kind of took the game over for us. And that's what makes him so great. He sensed that. He stayed aggressive. He made the right plays in the same stretch. That's the Giannis we need.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Hi, I'm Ashley, your marketing consultant here at WFHR and WIRI, and I am here to help local businesses, big and small. I want to wish everyone a happy holiday and a Merry Christmas.
A little sunshine this morning, becoming mostly cloudy and breezier by later this afternoon. High will be in the low to mid 40s by midday, falling into the 30s by late afternoon. Tonight, we'll drop down into the upper teens to low 20s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, colder with a high in the low 20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Badger fans, the temperatures may be dropping, but the Big Ten action at the Kohl Center is just heating up. This winter, we've got an action-packed schedule of Badger men's and women's basketball and men's hockey games right here at home. Gather your friends and family, secure your seats, and create lasting memories with us at the Kohl Center. For the full Badger schedule and to purchase your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who will address all our health needs to make us more efficient TV watchers. Then Nightlight will really go up in smoke when I welcome Rose Bauman from Legacy Cigars.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Mach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots of things coming up on the show today. We're going to talk all things education and school vouchers right after the 10:30 news with Heather Dubois-Bournain. I believe that's correct.
We'll find out.
We will find out. It's a great name.
It's very just like...
very distinctive.
Yes.
Like, be a great character in a book.
They own a home on a bayou.
Oh, we'll find out. She's with the Wisconsin Public Education Network, so we'll be talking about school vouchers. There have been some interesting cases around the country with, some naughty things going on.
Yeah.
Next hour, at the top of the hour, Pete Schwabba, our friend and colleague and the host of Nightlight here on Civic Media from 6 to 8 p.m. He is going to be joining us. Of course, he was in this great article in the Cap Times last week or the week before, and also the Golden Globe nominees came out today.
Yes.
So we'll be talking about some of those.
Old.
And man, do I feel completely out of touch.
Yeah.
Wow. And we will wrap up the show as we do every day now with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the Drink Up Edition.
It's not what you think. It's not what you think at all.
Probably not. So stick around for that. Also, very excited. We have started our new statewide text to win contest. It's our grown-up gift list contest. And so every day at 7, 11, 1, and 4 o'clock, you want to listen in to get the word of that hour that you need to text in. And it's your chance to pick up either $100 in cash or an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells every hour.
Okay.
And then every hourly entry qualifies you for one of the grand prizes in the grown-up gift list, everything from an espresso machine to a robot vacuum. We're going to have 8 grown-up gift grand prize winners in the statewide text to win contest. So you want to be listening next hour.
Okay. Yes.
11. The 11 o'clock hour, we will have the word that you want to text in using the Civic Media app.
You must have the Civic Media app. You cannot text this in through your phone. You can't call it in. This is directly through the app. So you must download the free Civic Media app. And I know we were talking to Pat Kreitlow earlier today.
Yes.
And you've sort of thrown up your hands and said, I give up. I'm not going into this against Todd.
He's all powerful.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you give up the fight forever. And this is what I'm saying right now. Todd Alba, on behalf of Matt Nair on Air, I, Greg Bach, challenge you.
I mean, it's not like he's beaten us by a lot.
Exactly. That's my point.
But he has consistently beaten us.
Well, all I have to say is we get a Dan Schaefer on here on a Friday.
You think that'll put it over the top?
He's got the Schaefer bump.
We just need to make sure that Todd has really hard to spell words.
Yes, rhododendron.
I think that's perfectly fair.
Falafel.
There's all kinds of potential there. I don't think that they're going to do that. But anyway, next hour at this time, join us at 11 o'clock for the Word of the hour.
Word of the hour.
Word of the hour. I know what it is. I can't tell you yet.
I know what it is, too.
And you can't tell me.
I'll tell you.
No, you won't. That's coming up right after the 11 o'clock news. Wanted to start off with Governor Evers appearing on WISN's Up Front yesterday. Talking about Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. We were just talking about this. I think it was just last week.
It was last week.
Because Robin Voss has talked about the budget and budget requests and also those lazy, apparently, state employees working from home. But we had a number of clips we wanted to share with you. Why don't you set up this first one, Greg?
This first one is actually, so I think Robin Voss was on 2 weeks ago on Upfront as well, having these discussions because the budget's coming up. There's going to be a lot of back and forth, a lot of dealing, if you will. And one of the things that Robin Voss said, I'm sorry, the Popcorn King said in the interview, was his thoughts on certain budget requests as far as education and that one. And this clip here is Robin Voss talking about budget requests made by the UW system as well as the Secretary of
DPI.
Thank you. You never remember that acronym.
Department of Public Education.
Thank you very much. Calvin, can you play that first one?
The governor in his statement talking about the surplus looked to the next state budget, as I'm sure you saw. WisPolitics, our editorial partner, reports agencies requesting $2.1 billion in additional general purpose revenue in the first year of the new budget, $1.3 billion in the second. Revenue's obviously going up as well. In your mind, from what you have seen so far, what is dead on arrival?
We're not going to give $1 billion to the university. I can tell you that's probably not going to happen.
Sorry, education.
I think it's unlikely that we're going to give Superintendent Underley's request for this massive increase in education spending when we just gave the largest increase in a generation like 18 months ago. So that is nothing but a political document from her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they gave us an increase after not doing anything for years and years and years and years.
And now they won't increase it at all. They'll just rely upon the municipalities to raise their own tax, which he says in that interview, he has no problem with municipalities raising their own taxes for educational purposes. But, you know, $4.6 billion in surplus, we couldn't invest that money in education. Never. Well, Governor Evers has some thoughts on Speaker Voss. He said those yesterday on Upfront. Calvin, he played that second clip.
Speaker Voss told us the UW funding is dead on arrival, in his words.
Yeah, so was shared revenue last time, and we got through that. I mean, he can talk all he wants, but you know what? He ain't governor, and he's not in charge of the Senate. He's in charge of the Assembly. The Assembly looks a lot different than it did last time
around. Not different enough.
So I take his comments as it's the way he works.
He ain't governor.
Well, no, he ain't.
And he ain't got a line item veto either.
There's that too.
Yeah.
I do want to say, I do think that asking for $4 billion was kind of, please, come on.
Well, I think also you start big. You say $4 billion and maybe your goal is 2, maybe your goal is 1.5, and you start big and you say, all right, let's work our way down.
Part of the negotiation.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to be like, if you need $7,500 for something, you're not going to be like, can I have $7,500? You say, hey, can I have 15 grand? Let's work it out.
True.
You know what I mean? So,
but that was a pretty substantial ask.
But I think, but as we talked about last time when it came to Robin Voss and in this interview with Robin Voss on Upfront, he makes this big, you know, this, we gave more money than in a generation. Yeah, but you weren't giving much to begin with in the first place. So don't pat yourself on the back too much here, buddy.
Right.
And now you won't give any more and you're making these municipalities raise their own taxes. That's not how this should work. This shouldn't have to go to referendum every single time they need more money. The state should have a desire to, wait for the word, invest in our children.
But that's not the way they view it.
Never.
I'm fairly certain they view it not as an investment, as throwing the money away.
Oh, no. And we're going to talk more about this with Heather from the Wisconsin Public Education Network, too. Is like, they think the fix is just vouchers. Voucher this, voucher that, voucher. Everyone get a voucher. And we're going to talk more about that with her. And as you were saying, the lack of accountability, you know.
It's astonishing what's been going on in some other states that are really, really pushing hard for school vouchers.
Jane, I knew a guy who started his own school in Racine, like a super Catholic school in Racine, and got voucher money. And it shut down within, I think, a year or two.
Yeah, there's so little oversight.
Yep.
There are so few requirements.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
If we should maybe the three of us should start our own school, you guys.
Calvin, do you want to start a school?
You want to start a school, Cal?
Sure, I'm in.
Cool, excellent.
We'll call it Big Chungus.
Big Chungus U. BCU. And our buses will all be called Schooly McSchoolface.
Oh, I like that.
But the other thing that you know, and this was kind of odd to me, it kind of came out of nowhere with Robin Voss's interview on Upfront, was the remote worker topic. Yeah, I know that like private corporations have been really trying to get their people back into the buildings. And this has, by the way, folks, nothing to do with quality of service, quality of work. This
productivity.
This has everything to do with real estate. This has everything to do with wasting money on buildings they own instead of maybe divesting or selling them off and just, you know,
repurposing them somehow.
Exactly. So this is Robin Voss. This is from his Upfront interview a couple weeks ago, talking about what he thinks should be happening with remote workers who work for the state. Calvin?
I think we need to look and say, how are we going to keep Wisconsin competitive? In my mind, that's by making sure we have people who are working for the state of Wisconsin. We still have far too many employees that are working from home. We had that audit that came out over the summer. I think it was some employees hadn't been in the office in months and months.
State employees?
State employees.
About?
Yeah, state employees. That's really an embarrassment. So, number one, we need to make sure people are actually doing their job.
You want to force them back into the office?
I would love to be able to say people have to be back in the office at least 3 or 4 days a week. I mean, we saw Amazon, which was 3 days a week, just announced by January 1st, 100% of people are going to be back in the office. I think we need to look at how state government functions, and one of the reasons that we have not had the services we want to deliver is because a lot of employees aren't working, or they're working only from home and not doing it very well with little supervision. So I would love for us to be able to say, hey, if we're going to be giving more money to agencies, we need to make sure we're actually performing.
Yeah, I got a couple things there with Mr. Voss.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, this is the guy who works for 2 months out of the year for the state. Right? They're on vacation for 10 months.
Yeah.
So don't give me all this about the quality of the work is suffering if they're not in the office 3 or 4 days a week. Give me a break. And the other thing that he refers to is this all this data that they have.
Yes.
It doesn't, at least he hasn't shared, or I haven't seen anything that shows that productivity is down, that work is not getting done. They're just not there. And they're working from home. And the other thing, too, he talks about wanting to attract people in the workforce and have quality people in the workforce. A lot of people like working remotely.
Yes.
And that is attractive to them.
That is it. To me, you say you want to make the state attractive to out-of-state people to come here and work. When you take away an option, an opportunity like that, you make yourself immediately unattractive.
Yes.
If you have someone who can work great and they work, I mean, granted, I think that state jobs should probably go to state people who live in the state. But if you have opportunities, that just makes you more attractive. And remote working is one of them. And this whole notion of him saying that we have the data, it's where is the data?
Well, exactly. Let's get into specifics.
Yeah, because the department heads came, and I'm trying to find it right here. I found it right here. It said, this is, oh, I'm sorry. I talk too much.
We're going to go to break. We're going to continue this, and we have another clip from Governor Evers that we're going to play as well. Do you work remotely? Are you not getting anything done? 855-752-4842. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As Democrats pick up the pieces from their loss to Donald Trump, one of the first major decisions the party will be making is to select the new chair of the Democratic National Committee. The race for that role now has a major Wisconsin connection. Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, is now officially running for DNC chair. One Democratic source I talked to characterized Wickler as a Goldilocks candidate for the role. He's liked by both centrists and progressives, big dollar donors and grassroots organizers, and knows how important state parties around the country can be in a second Trump term. So, could he be just right for the role? The vote for DNC chair is scheduled for February 1st. A lot can happen between now and then. But whether or not Wickler wins in his bid for the role, it will certainly be a story to watch for Democratic politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Did you know that our Pet of the Week show on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR has helped over 100 animals find their forever homes by connecting with listeners? This is only made possible due to local area businesses, and we hope to help 100 more. Listen to 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR Pet of the Week on Thursdays at 9 AM and find that special friend you've been looking for, or learn how you can help with current needs. Made possible by sponsors like you, who help keep this program running for all of the animals in this community.
Shh, do you want to hear a secret? You have to keep it between us. The Wisconsin Broadcasters Association is currently accepting nominations for the WBA Local Broadcast Legends Award. We'd like your help in nominating one of our community's best, Pamela Hilke. Here's where you come in. If you or someone you know is directly affected by the work Pam has done at WFHR over the last 47 years, send an email describing the reasons you want to nominate Pam to Laura Berg, LaURA.BERGH at civicmedia.us. Thank you for keeping this our little secret.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have basketball tomorrow night. Wisconsin and Illinois, 7 o'clock broadcast start. You can listen to the game on WLAK in Amory, WRCE in Richland Center, and WRJN. And 1400 AM in Racine, 98.1 FM in Kenosha, Wisconsin at Illinois. Hoops tomorrow, 7 o'clock broadcast starts. What?
You saying hoops.
But it's you. People call it hoops.
Hoops.
I say swish.
Dunk, dunk.
Swish, swish. Yes, that is tomorrow night, starting at 7 o'clock. We were talking about Governor Evers appearing on WISN's Upfront yesterday, and we're talking about educational dollars, and also Robin Voss very anxious to get everybody back into the state capitol.
It makes us more attractive, and it makes us more accountable.
Mm. Because apparently they're not getting anything done working remotely, although I haven't seen any statistics to back that up. Wes from Middleton texting in, listening on WRCE. Man, who takes a year off every... Man, Voss takes a year off every other year and has the audacity to call state employees working from home an embarrassment. I hear you, Wes. It's the glaring hypocrisy that just makes me crazy.
Yeah. And like he says it like it doesn't, like it can't be, like it can't be said to him in the room. Like, dude, you work 2 months. Like, answer that question. Why didn't Matt Smith on Upfront say you work 2 months out of the year? Who are you to say that these people aren't getting, you don't have the metrics, you don't have the statistics. You say you have the data, but you don't present anything. Now, granted, I'm putting a lot of words in Matt Smith's mouth. He is the one who is hosting that show, but.
But don't you, I just think Robin Voss would come back and say, well, that's the way it's written in the state constitution, that we only do this, you know, work 2 months of the year and then we're off.
Well, then I would ask you if you really think you're doing the work of the people then, of the public.
John from Oshkosh listening on WISS. I think studies show more productivity for remote work. I wonder if Republicans just want to force people back to the office and then hold them to the same productivity outcomes. Remote flexible work allows for much better work-life balance, which may just positively impact productivity outcomes. Crazy, I know. Yeah.
And one of the things he said in there, he said, we have the data that shows, and really that's not true at all. This survey that went out, we put this, and I will put this in the show notes for today, but we actually had it from the earlier episode a couple weeks ago. There was no metrics produced.
But, about productivity.
Correct. But Representative Mark Bourne, who is the representative of Beaver Dam, he's a Republican, he said, quote, these surveys all say from almost every agency that remote work is better, efficiency is better, these things are all better, but there's no data to support this. The surveys were filled out They were put out through the managers. So what you're saying is remote work is better, efficiency is better, all these things are better, but you think they're lies, or you don't think there's enough data to
support that.
To support them. I would say, are you talking to the agency managers, the department managers? If there was a huge problem, I feel like we would know by now.
I think you make a very good point.
And it really burns my grits to hear people speaking like that when you say like, oh, we have all this data saying that it works, but doesn't.
Yeah, but I don't like that.
I don't.
I don't believe it.
Well, Governor Evers has a thought on this too. He has a real simple idea, a real simple statement he said to Matt Smith on Upfront yesterday. Calvin, can you play that final clip?
He also told us the other day that he wants to introduce, as part of the budget, language that would require state employees to return to the office 3 to 4 days a week. Would you sign the budget if that was included?
No. 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 It's working. We're working. You know, we've heard for years the idea that somehow we, you know, it's not fair that, you know, so many of the people that work for the state of Wisconsin come from the Madison-Milwaukee area. Well, we went out of our way when we, you know, during the pandemic and post-pandemic to hire people in Rhinelander and all sorts of different places in the state because we knew they could work from home or work from an office that's remote from Madison. That's working. And, you know, I think it's important for us to say we want to get the best people working for the state of Wisconsin possible. And sometimes that will mean that they will work from home part-time, full-time. We can work that out. It's working fine now. I know he's got all this data, and I can't wait to see it.
Bring it on, baby. Let's see that data. Can't wait to see it.
Welcome to Data Watch.
855-752-4842 if you want to join the conversation. Jack from Merrimack on the line. Good morning, Jack. What do you want to say about this?
Well, first of all, I retired from teaching about the time Act 10 went into place. I had a wonderful year on it, and I'm one of these lazy teachers. I taught lab sciences. I was in the lab at 6:30 in the morning prepping for the classes, and generally got left school about 5:30. So I wasn't working from home. It's kind of hard to do that when you're teaching. But I did want to say this. In a 2023 article, I believe, by Ruth Conniff in the Wisconsin Examiner, schools in the so-called parental choice program scored worse than public schools in English, language arts, and did even worse in math. So-called school choice. One of the things that the people involved in school choice say is that, well, we have a much higher graduation rate. Well, yeah, if you can choose, and that's what it is,
right.
you can choose whom you admit to these schools, then you can choose those who are much more likely to graduate. That's the first thing. However, when I taught at a private school for a while, I noticed that there was a lot of pressure put on not the students to do their job and succeed. There was pressure put on the teachers to actually boost the grades.
Appreciate it, Jack. Thank you so much. We are coming up against the news. I'm sorry, everybody. We're not going to have time to get to you if you're waiting on the line. Apologize for that. We are going to continue talking, though, about vouchers
mm-hmm.
and how well they work. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Gas prices fell again last week, dropping 5.2 cents per gallon for an average of 271. This is over 10 cents lower than a month ago and more than 11 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. You can find gas as cheap as $2.47 in Wisconsin, though the most expensive is $3.38. The average in the nation has fallen below $3 per gallon for the first time in well over 3 years. Officials at Gas Buddy say the national average could potentially fall another 10 to 15 cents by Christmas. Prices in central Wisconsin today range from $2.56 to $2.69 per gallon. Food waste increases over the holiday season. Derek Tritz has the story.
With every holiday season comes more mouths to feed and most of the time a lot of extra food. Sadly, a large portion of that extra food ends up getting wasted, according to DNR Organic Waste Management Specialist Ruth O'Donnell.
Recently, the organization ReFed estimated that on Thanksgiving, over 300 million pounds of food was wasted in the United States, and that represented more than $500 million of groceries thrown away.
To cut down on food waste, the Wisconsin DNR recommends creating detailed shopping lists for holiday dinner ingredients and freezing leftovers. Freezing leftovers might also save you a few nights of cooking. More information about food waste prevention can be found at dnr.wi.gov.
A recent study found that Wisconsin residents are paying a smaller percentage of their wages on utility costs than most other states. The study conducted by Eden Emerald Hot Water found that Wisconsin ranked 13th in spending on utility bills, with about 12% of the average salary going toward things like gas, water, internet, and cable. Minnesota was the only Midwest state to rank higher. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Brace yourself for a new Hollywood reboot, folks. Scrubs ran for 7 seasons from 2001 to 2008 on NBC and then 2 seasons on ABC. The original executive producer and showrunner, Bill Lawrence, will also commandeer the reboot, but as of right now, there is no cast yet attached. Maybe they should cast those two guys from the T-Mobile commercials. Looking for a good murder mystery? You might want to check out the show Cross. Cross is based on the best-selling Alex Cross novels by James Patterson and is quickly gaining viewers. The show logged 40 million views in its first 20 days of release, making it the 6th most viewed show ever on Amazon Prime. Aldous Hodge plays the brilliant Alex Cross, a detective and forensic psychologist who pursues serial killers. Season 1 is currently available to stream. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today and mild. High temperatures, warmest of the week, reaching 40 degrees with some breezy southwest winds, gusting around 20 miles per hour. A slow drop for the rest of the week. Highs tomorrow in the upper 20s. Fall to the low 20s on Wednesday with a shot of snow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 37 degrees at our studios.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life.
SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend, update you on the news, and get you into the holiday season as we prepare to travel to Seattle. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Ooh, baby.
good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Today is the first day of Civic Media's latest statewide text-to-win contest. It's called our Grown-Up Gift List, and it is underway today. Coming up next hour, right after the 11 o'clock news, I will have a word for you that you're going to want to text in via the Civic Media app. You have to text it using the Civic Media app, and that gives you a shot at either $100 cash or an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. This happens every weekday, 7, 11, 1, and 4 o'clock. So next word is at 11, then at 1 o'clock with Todd, and 4 o'clock with Dom Salvia. Every hourly entry will qualify you for one of the grand prizes. Everything from espresso machines to a robot vacuum to much, much more. Civic Media, we have 8 grown-up gift grand prize winners in the statewide text-to-win contest. So stick around for that special word coming up after 11 o'clock this morning. It's only one syllable. Easy word.
Really?
Yeah, it's a good word.
Doesn't matter. I still can't win.
No, you cannot win. We are hoping to be joined by Heather Dubois-Burinami from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. We were talking before the break just about Governor Evers and Robin Voss's desire to have state employees back in the office and about funding for education. And we wanted to talk about school vouchers because this is a big, big thing. And the right loves school vouchers. They love
very much so.
They love school choice. Mm-hmm. But one of my biggest issues with these schools is the apparent lack of oversight and the apparent lack of accountability to any state agency. We are paying for them now.
With our tax dollars,
we are funding 2 school systems.
Yes.
And then when you stumble on a story like this one from the Copper Courier, Cameron Stevenson, this is in Arizona. Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays has announced another round of fraud charges in Arizona's school voucher program, this time involving over $100,000 granted to the non-existent students of fake parents.
That is amazing.
Isn't that something?
Holy monkeys.
A grand jury decided to indict Johnny Lee Bowers and Ashley Meredith Hewitt on 60 felony counts of fraud, forgery, and money laundering. They allegedly forged documents like birth certificates and utility bills to use those as proof of their residency in Arizona. They actually lived in Colorado. For 5 different families. Now, listen to this. They came up with birth certificates for 5 different families made up of 50 qualifying students. Yeah. 5 different families, 50 qualifying students. Of the 50, 43 are believed to be non-existent children.
And who says the right isn't against birth control?
It was the goal of the conspiracy that the defendants, Colorado residents, got money from the Arizona Empowerment Scholarship Account Program.
My God.
By submitting applications for children, both real and fake. They then used this money for their own personal living expenses while continuing to live in Colorado. They were awarded $110,000 in an 18-month period shortly after the state's Republican-led legislature expanded the voucher program.
Boy, tell me more, Jane.
To date, no guardrails or transparency or oversight has been added to the program, resulting in rampant fraud and a consistent deficit in Arizona's education budget. That's my issue with vouchers, is there isn't enough oversight and there's not enough accountability. I don't understand how the right is okay with this.
Well, as someone, I can't speak for them, but I always want to. My guess is the response will be, well, much like the response when it comes to abusive police officers. Well, that's just an example.
A bad apple.
That's just a bad apple. But what does the whole sentence say? A couple of bad apples spoils the bunch. And when things like this happen, and I know, for me, it's the accountability. For me, it is the, well, the accountability on this, this is just fraud. This is just a crime.
Yes.
But it's also the lack of accountability on when they get the students as well. I mean, we've spoken about this in the past. A charter school or a private school or a magnet school can take voucher funding money and they can say, hey, we welcome everybody. Well, oh, Jane, your daughter, she's welcome. And then the moment we know we get the money, and if your kid is queer or something we don't like, we can throw them out and keep the money.
Yeah.
That's how this works.
It gets even better.
Oh, boy.
Again, this is in Arizona. Similar charges were brought against three employees of the Arizona Department of Education. Their alleged scheme was much more efficient. Prosecutors say the three forged documents for 17 students and defrauded the state of more than $600,000. Again, they worked for this agency. The employees began defrauding the state in 2021 using the information of real children, but then expanded their operation to include fake students after the voucher program became universal. It's astonishing to me.
Do I get my money back?
You do not get your money back.
So that money they've taken from my taxes for the school system that they've given to these private organizations, which I don't want to fund in the first place.
Right.
They have trusts. They have endowments. They make a lot of money. I mean, my high school that I went to, I think the tuition at my high school that I went to when I was a senior in 1996 was $1,000. I think it's $12,000 a year.
My goodness.
And I know they give scholarships away, but they don't need my money. They shouldn't get my money. And the moment that they don't account for those students, they want to kick a student out for whatever reason, cool. Write the state a check and give it back.
And get the money back.
But this is in my opinion, this is criminal on a lot of levels. The fact that we're paying into it to begin with. The fact that there's no accountability. The fact that fraud like this can happen. And I'm sure it's not the only case. It's just the ones we know about right now.
Right.
Like I said to you earlier in the show, I was aware of a human being who started his own school, his own Catholic school right here in Racine. A pre-Vatican II Catholic school of, like, you know, Latin Mass.
Oh, wow. And
yeah, it was the old school, like, women, you don't matter, boys, shut up, children should be seen and not heard, that kind of thing. He took tons of voucher money. He didn't pay teachers. He wasn't accredited by the Archdiocese in Milwaukee. He had no affiliation with it. They didn't want anything to do with him because they're not teaching pre-Vatican doctrine. So he got all this money.
And is he an accredited teacher?
I don't think so. I think he was a banker or something, or accountant.
Arizona Representative Nancy Gutierrez, a Democrat in Arizona, has pushed for years for more oversight of the voucher program. She says the continued fraud is evidence,
yeah,
that more accountability is necessary. As a high school teacher and a member of the education committee, she described what she sees as a blatant double standard, ever-increasing scrutiny of public school spending, while voucher spending gets a hand wave and a blank check.
Yep.
Pretty much.
And the stamp of approval of one side of the aisle in every single state house, as well as the federal government. They are just willing, able, and just eager as all get out to funnel hundreds of millions. Yes, I said hundreds of millions of dollars into these voucher programs that come from your tax dollars paying, as you said, Jane, and I love this term, a second school system.
Yep, because that's what it is.
And, you know, I don't know if Heather will be joining us today, but I will say this. I will be putting in the show notes the Wisconsin Public Education Network's it's not a calculator, but it's a resource tool where you can go in and see where you live, go to your county or your
town,
wherever it is. I think it's by county. And it will show you how many dollars are being diverted from paying for the public school system into the private school voucher system. And then ask yourself, why am I voting yes on these referendums to up my property taxes
when we're paying for a whole separate school system?
Exactly. That my kid doesn't go to.
Right. 855-752-4842 if you'd like to leave a comment or join the conversation. Jean from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Jean. Thank you for calling. What did you want to say about this?
Great topic, guys. As usual, you do such an outstanding job covering how the people are getting, I'll say, grifted. I mean, come on, give me a break, folks. You got people stealing your goddamn money, and it's ridiculous. I mean, I worked in the school system years ago as a school psychologist and therapist and, you know, in that area. And those teachers work their hiney annies off.
Yep.
And they go to school, and they have to keep up their education. And they have plans for the kids. I mean, they are, you know, I used to just get sick to my stomach when Walker got in, running down teachers, you know, and all these Republicans calling in how bad the school system is. Well, God darn it, when they started getting these vouchers, and I know of a little kid that got kicked out of kindergarten after their parents paid a lot of money and didn't even get a refund because he couldn't handle the little kid and he really wasn't bad. You know, he wasn't doing bad things. I mean, they're just and then when you go to, we're a mobile society. When you go from down south, which used to be good education, and you go to different places, they know where you went to school and how much education you had. Now the kids, a lot of these kids can't pass these tests, you know, so they're equal to the kids that they're joining the new school system with.
Right.
I mean, it's just ludicrous. Anyway, I didn't mean to go on and on. Thank you, guys.
It's okay, Jeannie. We love hearing from you.
We do. We love hearing from you, Jeannie. I really appreciate it. You can join us, too, 855-752-4842. We're talking about voucher schools and not specifically what's happening in Wisconsin, but I certainly think that it's worth bringing these things up because I believe that we have the similar lack of oversight over our voucher schools. Here's another one. The Arkansas Times headline reads, "Can you really use an Arkansas school voucher for horseback riding lessons?" The answer is yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
The Arkansas Learns Act, signed into law last year by Governor Sarah Sanders, created a voucher program sending public money to private school families to use for tuition, fees, and other expenses. This year, they opened it up to homeschoolers.
Oh, yeah.
They opened it up to homeschoolers.
I heard it's really hard to get into homeschool. There's a lot of
a lot of restrictions.
Real application process. You got like real good like essays you got to write.
Keep in mind, homeschool families don't have to pay tuition bills.
Nope,
as they're teaching at home.
Yep,
but they can use the voucher money for a variety of other education-related expenses, books and supplies, curricula, computers, private tutoring, and extracurricular activities.
Well, that's no longer than just the voucher. We need to call it something else then, because when I think of school voucher, I think a school voucher is getting you into that school that is going to pay your tuition. Now it's just these are grants. These are statewide federal
giveaways, grants
that are just you want to learn how to ride horse. You want to learn double neck guitar. School vouchers will give you the money for it. I mean, this is getting out of hand.
Well, and the whole thing homeschooling has even, there's no accountability among homeschoolers. I tried to do a story about this a number of years ago, and I couldn't get anyone to talk to me about it.
Yeah.
Because they kind of like that, at least from what I understand, they kind of like not having to answer to anybody.
Oh, they love not having to answer to anybody. Alicia on the live stream, just before we go, she said, "I know private school vouchers that are putting in new payment playgrounds, remodeling because they are flush in tuition and voucher money. Meanwhile, public schools are begging for a new roof."
We're going to keep this going. If you'd like to join us, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide, potentially global, Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
At Lakeland Care, we are passionate about creating a world we all want to live in. Lakeland Care supports frail elders and adults with disabilities through Wisconsin's Family Care Program. As a Lakeland Care member, you'll benefit from a dedicated care team that assists you in managing your health and daily activities. Our personalized support aims to improve your quality of life and help you maintain your independence. To find out if you qualify, contact your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. To learn more about Lakeland Care, visit lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Before a new Democratic governor takes office in January and it loses its supermajority, the GOP-controlled North Carolina legislature used a hurricane relief bill to strip power from the governor and attorney general. The draconian changes hinge on a pending veto override vote in the state house. The bare-knuckle bill was short on hurricane relief and long on keeping power out of the hands of Democrats. Earlier this year, a 2023 bill attempting to strip the power of the governor to appoint county election boards was struck down by the state's Court of Appeals. Now, Senate Bill 382 tries to remove that power by shifting it to the incoming state auditor, a Republican. In his veto message, current Governor Roy Cooper called the bill a sham and unconstitutional, and Democrats have declared it an outrageous power grab. The bill also includes a proposed constitutional amendment requiring voter ID for mail-in ballots and bans the Attorney General from opposing the legislature in court. The state Senate voted December 2nd to override Cooper's veto, and the House vote is pending. North Carolina Newsline reports that it's unclear whether Republicans have the vote in the House to override, with three House GOP lawmakers unhappy with the inadequate hurricane relief funding having voted against the original bill. We have the text of the bill and great local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. Coming up after the 11 o'clock news, Pete Schwabe, host of Nightlight from 6 to 8 p.m. will be joining us. Going to talk about the Golden Globe nominations, which just came out today, and about Pete.
Yeah.
Really nice article about Pete in the Cap Times. He lived in L.A. He wrote screen things. He has contacts. He knows names.
Screen doors.
He knows big names.
Ooh.
So we're going to talk to Pete coming up after the 11 o'clock news, and then that will be the, you want to be listening for the word.
The word.
The word. The word for our statewide text to win contest. Mm-hmm. And your chance to win wonderful and fabulous prizes that could but potentially won't change the course of your entire life. We were talking about school vouchers before we went to the break.
Yes.
And in particular, I saw this article in Arizona about the amount of fraud that is being uncovered with vouchers because there's so little oversight for them. Democratic lawmaker Gutierrez said she has introduced several pieces of legislation that would make the same regulations on voucher spending that are currently in effect for public school spending, which you would think would be a reasonable suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those proposals were denied right away by the Republicans in Arizona. Enrolling fictional children to attend public school would be remedied almost immediately. However, a couple of these folks were able to enroll dozens of non-existent students and suck state money for years. The indictment names 30 fictitious students and outlines a complex webs of fake families created by these people. Each family had six children getting vouchers, which prosecutors say were used to fund the pair's personal living expenses. And now you can use these vouchers in Arkansas to take horseback riding lessons.
Absolutely. You want to learn to ride a horse? Thank you, Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yeah. There are no income eligibility requirements for either homeschool or private school households in Arkansas to get a voucher. So well-off homeschool families who are already paying out of pocket for horseback riding lessons now get them completely comped by the state. And families who have paid private school tuition before this new statewide program, now they're getting taxpayer money to help boost their bank accounts. This voucher costs the public about $6,856 in this school year. There are 14,000 students in the program, most who attend private schools. About 3,000 are homeschooled. The majority of the $96 million Arkansas spends on vouchers is flowing to private schools, particularly religious schools.
I want to, and to the other thing too that I wanted to bring up before is that one of the things they can get you with vouchers is saying, like, you know, so and so comes from a poor family. We want to give them the opportunity of the best education, so we want to give them a voucher. And that's a way you can say, like, oh, I understand that.
Right.
But a lot of these individuals, I'll bet you any amount of money, fraudulent activity notwithstanding, a lot of these individuals have plenty of money to begin with and just getting flush with cash, as Alicia Saunders said in the previous, flush with cash just to pad their lifestyles. Because homeschooling also does not mean barefoot in a trailer park, broke. A lot of these homeschooling families are well rich off because they want their kids learning exactly what they want their kids to be learning. So why not make a little money on the side?
Along with being able to use school vouchers in Arkansas for horseback riding lessons, they also include climbing gyms, dance studios, and jujitsu instructors. One of the owners of one of these stables involved in this voucher program says they have only recently been approved as a vendor. She was surprised by the negative reaction on Facebook and has declined to comment otherwise. Now, in some instances, in particular these horseback riding lessons, and I used to volunteer for this, it's called equine assisted therapy.
Yes.
Which is wonderful. It's really, really wonderful for children with disabilities, or children with some emotional problems.
Yep.
It can be a really good and helpful thing. So
yes,
that's one thing.
I love it.
But if you want to learn horse jumping,
yeah,
I don't necessarily see that as the same kind of thing.
What was the name of the thing that the Romneys did? It was not decoupage. That's art.
Oh, dressage. Dressage.
My child is majoring in dressage. We need private funding money.
Yeah. We need free money.
I want free money, and I'm being serious at this point.
I just think, again, if there were the same accountability measures, if there was the same amount of scrutiny on results from private schools that our public schools have to endure, that shouldn't be difficult.
Yeah.
That they have the same kind of scrutiny and accountability, because it's our money.
Mm-hmm. And it's one voucher is a lot of money.
Well, if they're spending $6,800 in Arkansas,
yeah,
what are we spending for one voucher in Wisconsin?
A lot. And like I said before, I'm going to put a tool. There's a toolbox. I'm going to link into the show notes today that will show you in your county how much money is being diverted to school voucher programs. Your money. Your money.
Our money.
Yes.
Absolutely. News coming up next. Stay with us when we return. Pete Schwabe, host of Nightlight, will be here. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, children's author Laura Bird with some holiday gift recommendations, not just for the young book readers on your list, but for the grown-ups as well.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide text to win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS